All right, if you were going to give other folks a minute to come back into the room, but if you're here and you don't have paper or something to write with, go ahead and take a moment to get those things now, please. And if you're just coming back into the room, I was just mentioning you'll want something to write with and paper. Or if you're joining us on the computer, you can just write on the computer, of course. All right. So again, we're exploring belonging in two different ways today. We're exploring inherent belonging, the way in which everything belongs in being. So as we return home to awareness or to being, as we return home to home, the home of ourselves, our true selves, everything belongs. And we belong to each other, right? That our being, can you feel the way in which being, in the way that we've touched it today, that being, it doesn't belong to me. It's not Lindsay's being and my being, and sometimes those beings interact. But you know how at the beginning people talked about shared humanity? Shared, my favorite phrasing for this is shared being. So that's a very important realization when realizing freedom together, that this being we're touching, this home of presence, isn't an individualized presence. So we're touching the belonging on the absolute, as I started the day with, the absolute and the relative, and then we're also touching belonging on the relative. So this next exercise is a dipping into the exploration of the relative plane belonging. I specifically wanted to pick an exercise from the book to explore with you all so that if there's anything about this exercise you want to dip back into later, you know where to find it. This practice is called What is Shared? So, what I'm going to be inviting you to do is to choose one way your attention habitually maintains the story, they aren't like me. So go ahead now with your, this is just a contemplative moment with your journal. What's one way that your attention habitually maintains the story, they aren't like me? You could start by, well, I'll just say this about it. It could be anyone you're habituated to see as different from you. So for example, somebody who holds different political beliefs, or is from a different cultural context, or maybe a different generation. So you're starting by just exploring, journaling. Basically, how does the mind maintain? They aren't like me. We will have some sharing time later, but I want to be really clear that what I'm asking you to write about now, you may wish to never share with anyone, and that's fine. So you don't feel as though what you're writing, I'm not going to like be like, okay, now read word for word to your partner what you just wrote. And so this is really be as honest as you can with yourself about how the conditioned mind, the mind that's been habituated by society, friends, family, culture, religion, How does the conditioned mind maintain the story? They aren't like me. And if you're writing about a group at large, that's fine. But for this exercise, really bring it to a person. I'm using they in the gender neutral way. Okay, so it could be helpful, for example, to picture a person in your mind and to answer these questions about how does my mind run this story that they aren't like me. And then spending another minute or so just wrapping that up. I want to invite you to read over what you've written. With this question, what beliefs make they aren't like me true, with true in quotes? Like, how do I get identified with the lens, the perception that these statements are true, that it's real? That it's not just how I've been conditioned or habituated to perceive someone. It's not just what the mind is projecting. It's true. Spend a few moments just exploring, like, how do I get to a place? What happens within that makes they aren't like me true to me? What's the evidence? So you're making a list of what you believe about the other, and then you're exploring what makes these beliefs true. There's an exercise in the book later on, in the book after this one, What Is Shared, that is a way to take this exercise to kind of the next level, in a sense. And just in case you decide to read the book and you want to do that, take a moment now just to make sure you've written a list. So, for example, take a moment if you didn't put this in the form of he, she, or they are narrow-minded. Go ahead and do that now, just with at least three or four of the things. So write these beliefs in that form. Again, this is, if you're reading the book, there's something that happens later in the book that you'll be you'll reference this experience. I just use an example of, let's say I'm choosing someone and I'm picturing a person in my life that has different political beliefs than me. So I would write, he is narrow-minded. So you're just, thanks for clarifying, you're just putting the things that make them feel other in that kind of bullet list form. And just one more minute for that. All right, here's another question for you. How does it leave you feeling to maintain this narrative, to be identified with it? When I talk about being identified with the conditioned mind, I'm talking about being hooked in, believing what the voice of the conditioned mind asserts. Everybody with me on what I mean by the conditioned mind? Okay, thank you for letting me know. Popcorn style, what does the conditioned mind mean? If I say the conditioned mind, what do you think I'm referring to? The mind that has, like, believes the things you grew up believing. The mind that's been shaped by society, family, friends, culture. The identified mind, the mind that believes that my trauma is who I am, that believes I am what I think. Yes?
Could you just reiterate what is the exercise?
Yes, yes. So what I'm asking you to do now is ask, so how does it feel in your body and in your mind, your energetic system even, to be identified with this narrative, they aren't like me? What's the fallout? Like, what are the repercussions of, And just one more minute for that. All right. This next part, I'm going to read a whole little section to you and then set you free to journal about it. But I want to read the whole thing first. So what we're going to do next is, as a practice, I'm going to be inviting you to consciously direct your attention to seeing and naming what you share with the same person that you were just writing about how they become other according to your conditioned mind. So what I'm going to be inviting you to look to see what happens when you look for and focus on what you share. There's information in this process. So note that sharing qualities is not the same as having no difference. So just because the daffodil doesn't share the same essence as the iris, it doesn't mean we should overlook the distinct brilliant colors expressed in each. And certainly because this essence that is shared, I want to acknowledge that it doesn't mean that each flower is planted in the same soil or offered the same access to water and sun or given the same encouragement to thrive, right? So we want to acknowledge the relative and the absolute in this. So take a moment now to look back at your list and see what is shared. Direct your attention to what is shared. You've spent time focusing on this is what the conditioned mind asserts that leaves me feeling they aren't like me. Direct the attention consciously to what is shared. Come again, Justin. Yeah, what is shared? What you share with them? And just another minute to wrap that up. Take a minute to look over your list about, or your musings about what is shared, and ask, so what's the byproduct of focusing on what's shared? What happens in the body and the mind and the energetic system as you direct your attention to what is shared? And wrapping up that as you're ready.